do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. Bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
You know what day it is already? You've had this day circled on your calendar for, at least a year. It is November the 8th, 2016. That is the day that Americans have gone to the polls to vote for their next president of the United States. My name is S.M. Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. You were seeing people starting to freak out that it's a possibility that Hillary Clinton won't become the president of the United States. That's not a shock to anybody that keeps up with what's going on here with us on Anti-Media every Tuesday and Thursday nights on UCY TV. But here's the problem. Whether you get Hillary or whether you get Trump, we still have to deal with the exact same problems. There's no right answer or wrong answer in this election. And that's something that most Americans have missed, and they've missed it for a long, long, long time. This election has caused such divisiveness amongst the American people, and yet they don't realize that they're the ones getting screwed no matter who is put in charge. You cannot, in any way, shape, or form, trust any of these people. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could give you a positive message and, you know, be kumbaya right now that people are worried that Hillary's going to lose, but I can't do that because I don't see a difference in whatever you're going to get. Now, again, I don't know how anybody could vote for Hillary Clinton, given everything we have learned about her through WikiLeaks, through the Podesta emails. And I think that has a lot more to do with culture in and of itself, how ignorant culture has become, how much they don't pay attention to anything that's going on. We see Donald Trump right now, who could possibly become the next president of the United States. And the reason why is because of celebrity culture. Because a guy has set forth a plan of winning an election, as I've said many times, Vince McMahon style. He knows how to get the crowd cheering in his direction. That doesn't mean that America is going to become great again. He just knows how to get the fans and the audience behind him. Now, with Hillary Clinton, she had nothing. And we'll see what happens. It's still too early to call. You know, who knows what we'll see when we wake up tomorrow. I think one thing that we've said here many times, and I think anybody that's paid attention, is they're going to try to drag this out, and we'll see how long it goes with who the winner is. But please remember, whoever the president is, it doesn't change how you interact with people. It doesn't change how you deal with your everyday life. You have to love the people around you. You have to take care of the people around you. You can't act like either one of these people is your savior or your end-all be-all, because they are not. They're selfish, greedy people. Now, maybe it's on a different level, and maybe it's for different interests. But guess what? It ain't your interest either way. And that's something that Americans, and not only Americans, but people all around the world need to wake up to. That this is about the real revolution that we're experiencing right now, the info war, so they say. This is about everyday interactions between you, the people you see, the people you deal with. That's where the revolution's at. It's a revolution of love. The revolution's not some politician, I promise you. It's not. The revolution is love and how you deal with your neighbor. As far as this election goes, we'll see. It is what it is. But I'm going to go ahead and bring on sound director, co-host, Shannon Madden. Shannon, what's up?
Nada. You know, it's been a while since you've called me sound director.
Yeah, well, I just did it.
You don't have to call me darling.
Oh.
Hey, that's a great song.
It's, yeah, well, there's been worse songs written. I'll say that.
Don't you dare say a bad thing about David Allan Coe.
He didn't even write that song.
I know.
And I'll say a lot of bad about him, actually, because he's
a rotten human being. He makes no bones about it. He prides himself on being a rotten human being. Have you ever seen him lately?
That's pretty rough.
That is a grizzled old dude, man. You want to talk about some hard living.
Yeah, he's got some problems. That's about how the United States would look if it was just encompassed in one person. They would. David Allan Coe is what America is, isn't he? There's some talent in there, but there's a lot of evil in there, too, and he just looks like he's been beat up and down.
And survived it all. That's the scary part.
Yeah, America's still kicking, I'll say that.
Well, have you been keeping up with these poll results?
Poll? What, there's an election? What? Poll? What's going on?
Yeah, there's apparently...
What have I missed?
Apparently, there is a couple people running for president. Well, there's like a bunch of people running for president of the United States, but only two people actually get to run. I still haven't figured that out yet. It's still too early to call. The electoral votes have kind of fluctuated. I'm getting my news, if you want to call it that, from Fox News, is saying that Trump now has 150 electoral votes, and Clinton has 122. So I've got the screen here in front of me. We're going to keep everybody posted, because I know you just can't fucking stand it. You just got to know it.
You do. Are and you? I'll tell you.
You going to stay up tonight?
Yeah, I'll be up with it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what. What really infuriates me is in times like this. I would normally put on CNN, although I trust none of them. I would normally put on CNN, but because of everything that's come out in WikiLeaks, especially in the past week, they are just completely in bed with the DNC. I wish more Americans had paid attention to what was actually inside of the Podesta emails, because you keep hearing over and over. When you talk about Hillary's email scandal, all you hear is, well, it was the way they were classified and were they deleted or not. No, we're talking about the content. And the content has been a terrifying examination of the inner-day workings of the United States government. And at least on the Democratic side of things, I don't think it's much any better, maybe worse, but, you know, the Republicans have their own problems. But with the Democrats, CNN's completely in bed with them. They were taking questions. They were doing a Donald Trump interview. Wolf Blitzer was. And they solicited questions from the DNC to ask him. They've also did the same thing with Hillary Clinton. Like, they were in control of everybody's interview, thanks to Donna Brazile for the debates on that. And I told you this over and over and over, Shannon. I personally believe Donald Trump is the second most hated candidate to ever run for president. The Democrats chose to find the one person who was more hated. And this is how elections in this country have worked for a long time. Because look at, to me, 2004 is a great example of presidential elections in the United States. And I think that's an overlooked one because it was a midterm for Bush. They put up John Kerry, but I think there's a lot of comparisons to be made because you see George Bush, who was not very well liked. I think people were just starting to wake up and realize, a mass majority of people were starting to wake up and realize that we had been lied to about the reasons for going into war in Iraq and Afghanistan. But I personally believe it was very easy for the Democrats to have beaten Bush in 2004. It's like they went out of their way to find who is the one person here that we can get to lose against this guy. The guy that has so many inconsistencies in his rhetoric versus his policy. Who is the biggest hypocrite we can find? Who can we get to lose against this guy? And the same could be said for the 2012 election. We've talked about it on here. About, I believe the Republicans could have beaten Obama in 2012. The entire election was centered around Obamacare, and they went and found the one guy who had Romney care. That's where they supposedly got the idea to have Obamacare. It's a joke. And I don't know if it's set up this way or if it's just with this election specifically, just greed and just power hungry, pushing Hillary into this position. But they've done it.
As you just said, that is kind of what has fueled my opinion to this point, that this election's still very early, and I really honestly believe that we're going to wake up with that evil woman as president of the United States. I hate to say it, but all of the signs and the money has really pointed to that. I mean, what she was able to accomplish and the DNC were able to accomplish right out in the open in front of everybody.
It was in the open. It was open to a degree. It was open. I felt that, you know,
you had to be a complete idiot to not see what was going on there.
Well, unfortunately,
look at what happened with the polls out in Arizona, where suddenly a bunch of polls closed down mysteriously. I mean, listen, things like that plague that whole entire side of that election.
What are you? Okay, you're missing a really big thing. You just said you'd have to be a complete idiot. Unfortunately, we are watching an election right now between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I don't know. I wouldn't call the mass majority of people supporting that Rhodes Scholars. You know, ironically, Bill Clinton.
Not from what I've seen on social media anyways, but go ahead.
Well, it's not even that. It's how can you think that these people have the answer to fix this country? First off, the answer that people are looking for is within themselves, and people need to realize that, and they need to wake up and realize that. But it's on a grand scale as far as the country goes. Hillary, if you can't figure out that she is as corrupt as they come, as they may have ever come, just, she's never done anything for anybody. It is all about her. We have seen thousands of emails leaked out. And you know what's missing from those emails? Her helping people. Her trying to do anything for anybody. They're not there. It's all about them constructing some sort of narrative for her to get out and say. It's all about pay to play, who we can take money from. It literally has come out in black and white that we've seen. It's not conspiracy any longer. It is a fact that Qatar, Saudi Arabia is funding, the governments of are funding ISIS. And guess what? They're funding her too. Qatar sent Bill Clinton $1 million for his birthday. The same people that are controlling ISIS are controlling Hillary Clinton. And people are like, I can't believe she's not winning. Give me a break. And Trump at least figured out that he has said everything there is to say. And this is why I can't trust Trump. And it just, it's not even close. There's no way I could trust him. Because Trump has mastered the art of saying everything. And he hits on every single topic. And he has both positions on every topic. And he waits to see how the crowd reacts to it. And if he gets the biggest cheer for that one position, he hangs on to it. And that's now a part of his policy. It really does go back to WWE. It's trying to get over the crowd. He waits to see what gets the bigger response, and that's what he goes with. That's now part of his policy. That's why I don't trust him, because I'm not going to lie. I think you would agree with this. I think most people would agree that Donald Trump has said something at some point. You're just like, I agree with that. But the problem is he more than likely, other than that stupid wall of his, he has said the exact opposite of the position you agreed with. He didn't get the response he was looking for, and he ran with it. Or when he said something you agreed with, for instance, he talked about 9/11 at one point, which just my jaw dropped when he did that. He even mentioned the Federal Reserve at one point, which my jaw dropped on. But he didn't get the response he was looking for, and he never ran with it again. So he's not someone to me that can be trusted. He's good at gauging a crowd. He's got a very good he's good at gauging the temperature of the crowd, and I still think that results back to a Vince McMahon style political campaign. Hillary tried that. She tried it with Bernie. The problem with Hillary is that she has such a track record that she talks about, yeah, Bernie's right, let's do something about these banks over here. And it's like, hey, Hillary, you've been taking like millions and millions and millions of dollars from these banks for a while. It doesn't really work when you say it. You know, she tried to adopt so much of his policy. Bernie Sanders supporters did not support her. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing tonight. Bernie Sanders would have been an election, because I think that would have been an election. At least as much as I don't like Bernie Sanders, as much as I don't like Trump, I do think that was at least who the people had been bought in. They bought into those messages, and that was the candidates they wanted. The left wanted Bernie. The right got suckered into Trump. And nobody wanted Hillary. She forced her way in because she hijacked the DNC, unquestionably hijacked it, from Debbie Wasserman Schultz to now Donna Brazile to even Tim Kaine before Wasserman Schultz. The whole system was hijacked for her to get in the position she's in now. And if she loses, boo-hoo. I don't hate it for anybody. Now, tomorrow, if she does lose, we're going to have to wake up to the reality that is the reality show walking around Donald Trump. And we're going to have to take that head on and deal with it however we're going to have to deal with it. But this is not, oh, I can't believe Trump's going to win. We could have had Hillary. No. She openly advocated for World War III. Because if you have a brain in your head, you would understand when she was on the debate stage talking about a no-fly zone in Syria, that is World War III. That is open war with Russia. People need to wake up and realize that if Hillary somehow wins, if this all flips around and she somehow becomes the president, which I've said I don't believe that's going to happen, but let's say it does, let's say I'm wrong and she becomes the president, you're looking at World War III. That's going to happen if she's president. Undoubtedly. People are right.
You know, last time I checked in World War II, the United States had to fight a war on two fronts. One was with Japan and one was with Germany, correct? Am I correct on that?
Well, kind of. Yeah, you are correct. But Russia was definitely very, very involved on the German side of things as well.
Understood. Understood, but the point I'm trying to make is that how many countries has President Obama bombed during his presidency again? How many countries was that again?
At least eight.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have to say at least because of so much covert garbage that our government does.
So who's to say that we're not already involved in another world war?
Well, I think if you looked at it on paper and you looked at where we're positioned, we have 100 bases around the world.
So what the hell is that? Let's really talk about what this is, because everybody paints this picture of this horrible mushroom cloud future and completely negates where we're at right now in the international community.
Okay, let me address that real quick, and this is why Hillary is terrifying in her own special way, is that up to this point, whether it's been Obama or even Bush for that matter, and the warmongering that has gone on, and the millions of innocent lives that have been lost for nothing other than greed, we have done it picking on countries that cannot in any way, shape, or form defend themselves against the United States, not even airstrikes against the United States. Hillary Clinton has decided, well, let's start picking on a superpower. Let's start trying to pick a war with somebody that has a bunch of nuclear weapons that can defend themselves against us. What's Afghanistan going to do? What's Iraq going to do? They can't do anything in the United States. Russia is in a different position. They have a much different infrastructure, and they can defend themselves. They can, if they so chose, if it came down to it, they could get to the United States. Iraq, nothing, nothing. And yet somehow people have convinced themselves of this farce of a war on terror. The war on terror is nothing more than a business plan. Just like the war on drugs was. Terror has risen over 6,000%. 6,000. That sounds like hyperbole. It's not. That's a real number. Over 6,000% terror has risen since 9/11, since we started the war on terror. Because when the United States declares a war on anything, all it does is cause more of it. So you're right in what you're saying as far as us being in I guess, a world war.
A war on many fronts. But unfortunately, our government is at the root of all of it.
It unfortunately is. But so far, as despicable as it is, it's been picking on a bunch of people that can't defend themselves. Once you start messing with Russia, you're in a whole different playing field. And then who's going to back Russia is China. And that's a whole different playing field. And that,
I really honestly don't believe that whoever winds up becoming president, all this loud talk about Russia and China and so on and so forth is going to quickly dissipate. And there's going to be some quiet conversations behind closed doors.
Not with Hillary. With
dignitaries and dignitaries of those countries to smooth and ease tensions. Now, Iran, however, I don't know about Iran.
Well, you've got to remember, too, that Russia is allies with Iran. So no matter if you're talking what's going on in Syria right now, if you're talking Iran, Russia's going to get involved. Because it's not I do believe that a lot of the Russian rhetoric would die down if Hillary won, as far as they interfered with our elections and that whole, you know, scenario. The scary part is what wouldn't die down is the situation in Syria. They would push it even further, and I think
we're going to face that with both candidates. I really do. I don't see with Trump. I don't see any, because of course he's going to have to appear hard and tough on terror and tough on this and tough on that.
I don't see with either candidate
where I get a drop off on what's going on in the Middle East. I really don't. I get a sense that we're going to see business as usual over
with
there.
Trump,
there's a lot of people making a lot of money.
It depends on what day he's talking. And that's the truth. Some days you hear Trump talk and you're just like, all right, we're not going to bomb people anymore. And the next day he's talking about, we're going to expand the military times a billion.
Need to get tougher. We need to be stronger. Right. We need to let these terrorists know that we mean business. Yeah, right. Where have we heard that from before?
And which
fellow from Texas.
Which part of that message is his campaign rhetoric to get votes, and which part of that message is genuine? I honestly can't tell you. You know, and I think so many people can assume what he means. You don't know, and I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and he said everything. He has been on every side of every position. Nobody knows. It's feasible. It is feasible he does the right thing in that. And it's feasible that he gets a whim and we just start bombing people. Nobody knows. And there's nothing about him, to me personally, that can be trusted. I want to real quick hit a story we've got up on the front page of the antimedia.org right now. It is election night, and I think this is massively important, especially when you talk about presidential candidates. Oh, they're going to help the economy. They're going to do this. Oh, they're going to put money back in the pockets of everyday Americans. U.S. presidential election spending sets new record of $6.6 billion. No matter how poor or indebted a country is, there's apparently always enough money for two things, and we both discussed them here tonight, war and elections. According to GoBankingRanks.com, the current U.S. presidential election is set to be the most expensive race to date. So far, it has cost at least $6.6 billion. As of October the 25th, the two major presidential candidates had spent a combined $1.13 billion running for office, compared to the $913 million spent at the same point of the 2012 race.
Wow, that is so much money. Wow, that's so much money. For what? Just so one of these asshats gets elected. That's it. That is the only reason that money's been spent.
Now, listen.
Well, it's been divvied up, I know, among other candidates from each party, but the vast majority of it, though, has been spent towards both of these assets.
And you know, this does go back a little bit to what we're talking about, the DNC and Hillary's hijacking of the DNC. According to Bloomberg, Donald Trump has largely relied on his own wealth and millions of small donations to support his campaign. As of October the 19th, Trump had contributed $56 million of his own money into his campaign and had spent roughly $430 million in total. Clinton, on the other hand, was able to raise, this is what Hillary Clinton raised, $1 billion and had spent $897 million at the same point in time. Hillary Clinton has reportedly spent over $125 million on media, which completely demolishes Trump's $30 million. In comparison, Gary Johnson, Gary Johnson gets media when he says something stupid, doesn't he? He's only spent.
What's a lepo?
What is a lepo? Gary Johnson has only spent $87,000 on media, and Jill Stein spent approximately $484,000. Wow, Gary Johnson.
That was a way. That's a waste of money for Jill Stein. And we heard way more about Gary Johnson than we did get Jill Stein.
I personally saw more about Jill Stein, and I think that's probably in the circles I'm in. To me, Jill Stein, you know, would she be my first choice for president? She wouldn't be. But, of the four people running, she would have been my choice of the four. Again, that doesn't mean that's an endorsement of her. But compared to Gary, Trump, and Hillary, I think, you know, she was the better of the four. That's just kind of how far we've gone down the path we're on. Most concerning, however, is the fact that the cost of the Democratic convention topped Clinton's spending on media and totaled a whopping $127 million. You ready for this? Get ready. Buckle up. Worse off, $43 million of it was federal money, tax dollars. Your tax dollars are going to spend for Hillary Clinton to promote herself and bombs. Hooray.
They just called Ohio for Trump.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
That's pretty wild, yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. I'm sorry. It's one of those things where, you know, I'm not looking forward to the end result either way, but if she loses, just to see the look on her face of disappointment, man, that'll be beautiful. This is what that terrible woman has spent her whole life murdering, stealing, everything she's ever done to get herself in this position and to get so close. It's like watching a football game. If you get beat in a football game by 3 touchdowns, it's like, oh, well, that stings. We lost and I feel terrible. But if you get to 1 second left in that game and they beat you with 1 second to go on the Hail Mary, it's like ripping your heart out. And that's what this would be for her. And I can't think of that to happen to a worse person and a better candidate to see that happen to.
I don't want to see either one of these people become president of the United States, but to see a really horrible, disappointed look on her face would make me happy inside.
I'm sorry. It totally would make me happy. I'm not a fan. I would, in that moment, I would have a little bit of joy in my heart to see how upset she was that everything she had ever worked for just failed, because she's never done anything for anybody other than herself. So, you know, this is what she's been building towards. And to know she lost to somebody that used to host The Apprentice a few years ago, that's really rubbing it in, isn't it? That's more insult to injury when you think about it. Because of who's going to be. But, you know, I guess silver linings here, when you're looking at what we're looking at, you got to find anything you can to.
Oh, now I will say this, whoever gets elected for president, that guarantees that there are at least 4 years of really, really, really dank memes, ahead for us.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay with that.
I do believe that there are a lot of memes in our future.
And oh, I don't, man, the dankest of the dank memes. Come on now.
I don't think the internet will have, no matter what happens, I think there will be a pretty swift and harsh response to either one of these two people winning. Where do we go from here? I don't know. It's, you know, a lot of tonight is just wait and see. I know people are starting to freak out. I know, especially I think because of the media, again, through WikiLeaks, Assange, total. I've always respected Assange, but to me, he's gone above and beyond, and he's an absolute hero. I think it's disgusting that so many people look at Assange and think, he's an operative. People weren't saying that. Well, they were, but it was on the reverse side. when he was calling out Bush for all his business. It's funny how people like Sean Hannity, who all everybody hated, and they wanted to, you know, drag him to the gulags. And now that he's going after Hillary, they love him. But I've always liked him. I've liked him since day one. This is what, you know, he's an American hero and he's not even an American citizen. It's ironic, isn't it? It takes somebody from outside of the United States to really deliver the media to the world. And
are
I think,
you're talking about Vladimir Putin, right? When he hacked the emails?
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, of course he did. Hillary said so on TV. Why would you think she would lie to the American public on TV? Are you serious?
There is a great story I read today talking about the Clintons and their scandals and about how everything's a right-wing conspiracy to get the Clintons. Oh, man, it's always a right-wing conspiracy. And it made a point that just really hammered it home. Okay, the same Republican machine of the right-wing conspiracy and all that. They tried to drum up a lot of stuff on Obama that fell on deaf ears because there wasn't really any evidence of any of it. But whatever you think about the birth certificate and that whole stuff, you know, they went out on their... They had all that going, and it didn't really work out because there wasn't a lot of evidence. It was what it was. But with Hillary, the point was, is right-wing conspiracies went after Obama and nothing really stuck because there was no evidence. They're like, then why, when there's right-wing conspiracies against Hillary, there's always a mountain of evidence? They're like, that's not a right-wing conspiracy. That's called they're just finding out the facts about you.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's going to do her spin PR campaign. And look, I don't think anything's above being rigged. I don't. I think computers could be hacked pretty easy. I believe there's a reason they're not calling some of the stuff they're not calling right now, because the media is in bed. For whatever reason, up to this point, we've seen it in black and white. They've been in bed with Hillary Clinton. But so have the banks. So is George Soros. So are the power players. The elite. That,
and, you know, having said all of that, and the many, 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 many times we've referenced on this show that this whole system is rigged, you know, what happens if we wake up in the morning and Donald Trump becomes president? Is the system not as rigged as we thought?
I've always thought
maybe concessions were made because public opinion has been so wild about this and all the nasty things we found out about Hillary Clinton through the WikiLeaks?
I think it's a good question, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have an answer for it. I think it's a great question.
There's we have discovered more about ourselves and more about how our government is truly ran in this election. There have been so many topics that are now, I don't know, topics that we used to consider, you know, we may quietly discuss with a friend, but wouldn't really talk about in open. And people are really out and loud about a lot of different things now. Now they've misguided their anger and they're going to, but point it to this one person or point it to that one person. But people on both sides of this little two-party paradigm thing have slowly woke up.
And this election, first off, I think, and there's still people living in their bubble. I think those are the people that voted for Hillary Clinton. But I think this election woke a lot of people up, and it proved a lot of the quote-unquote conspiracy theorists. I think that, you know, that's not... The conspiracy theorists have been proven to be the only people living in reality. And the genuine, real conspiracy theorists are the people buying into this garbage? A perfect example of that is the whole Russia business in WikiLeaks, or Trump being a tool of Russia. There's no evidence. As much as I don't like Donald Trump, and as much as I don't trust Donald Trump, there's no evidence, zero, that he's tied to Russia. There's no evidence, zero, that WikiLeaks is doing anything on behalf of Russia. There's no evidence that Russia has tried to interfere with U.S. elections. Why would they need to? Have you seen it? And Hillary Clinton wants to play the victim because that's all she's ever done. Oh, it's the Republicans. Oh, it's the conservatives. Oh, it's the right-wingers. Oh, it's Russia. It's always somebody. It's never her. She's never held herself accountable for anything other than when she was proven that she had her private server. Well, I made a mistake. It's okay. I made a mistake. And then Iraq, the Iraq vote. Well, I made a mistake, but I feel differently now. You realize she has supported every single war that has been put in front of her. And this is something that people need to remember. Is she, when Democrats did not strongly support going into Iraq when Bush was pushing for it, she helped round up the Democrats to support that war. She was a champion of it from day one. They wanted Libya to be some huge grand thing that she was going to be able to point to during this election. Oh, she fixed Libya, and it's turned into chaos. It's turned into such chaos that the people that oppose Gaddafi are now saying they wish he was back in power. That's why at one point you had her on camera going, well, we came, we saw he died, ha 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 ha. She thought this was going to be something she could hang her hat on politically, and it blew up in her face. She's done nothing but cause destruction everywhere she goes. So, I don't know. That's my rant, I guess.
Right now, the electoral count, Fox News has Trump at 168, Hillary Clinton at 131.
Yep, that's where we're at. We shall see. You know, I mean, she's going to carry California. I don't think they've called that. Are they even closed the polls there yet? I guess not.
The polls,
she'll carry the whole West Coast.
I believe the polls close at 7 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. They have officially closed.
17 minutes before they call it for Idaho, Oregon, Washington, and California, which I don't know about Idaho, but she'll carry the other three for sure. She may carry Idaho too. But, you know, that you got to remember, that's all factored into this when we start talking about it. We know who's going to carry what for the most part, and it boils down to six states, depending on the year, depending on the election.
A couple previous swing states, Ohio and Florida. Ohio's already been awarded to Trump.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice in that. They're hanging on to Florida and not awarding it to him. But I guarantee you, if it was Hillary on the reverse, they would already awarded it to her.
Yeah, because it's I believe the running vote total that they have on listed on screen showed that they were 115,000 apart, and I believe that they're still 30 some odd precincts have not reported yet.
It's unquestionable at this point, and you know, I've gotten a lot of grief for saying everything I've said about this election up to this point. But I firmly stated he's going to win the popular vote. Anybody that thinks different is a complete moron. I think we're finding out people are complete morons. He's going to win the popular vote. I mean,
I agree with that. I mean, there are so many people that just absolutely despise Hillary Clinton for so many really good, valid reasons. I guess that's really the major edge that she's had over Trump is that as far as pissing people off, she's been
again.
He's the
second most hated candidate in U.S. history. He's the second most.
He pisses a lot of people off, but he hasn't really pissed off everybody or a large group of people until very recently.
He's pissed people off, I think. I mean, when he made his comment about Look, when you call Mexicans criminals, I mean, he says stuff.
No. I'm talking about before this election, and I'm talking about Hillary has had decades.
Oh, sure.
Skanky ass.
Certainly. I don't think people had a problem with Donald Trump on a personal level, really, before this election. But he also wasn't trying to become the president of the United States, either. You know, he was just some guy on TV. It's like Mark Cuban. I like Mark Cuban just fine, but guess what? He's not trying to do anything that will affect my life in any way, shape, or form. If you were in for president, it would probably become a pretty different story really fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that. Well, they just called North Carolina for Trump.
Yeah.
Man! I bet people are freaking out on the social media.
Oh, there's some feels going on right now. I think I'm probably going to just completely ditch social media for about a month after this election. I think I've earned it.
I think that's probably smart. I think we all should. Because, we'll see what happens, and it's the fear of having him become president, because I don't see this as a great thing. I don't like it. I don't like it. I can't stress that enough. But to see the people disappointed, like that's the one silver lining here. I don't know how anybody bought into her business. It's like, at least with Trump, it's like when you believe this guy's lies, of which there's no record to really prove or disprove, and you just believe some guy that's lying. Fair enough, whatever. You know, that's up to the discernment of the individual.
Let me make a correction. Let me make a correction real quick. They've actually counted 95% of the precincts in Florida have reported, and we're about 115,000 votes apart. Trump's favor.
Yeah, and what Bush and Gore came down to, what, 500 votes or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're holding on to that, but they don't want to give it to him. But it looks like they're going to have to. The whole map's going red. You see them clicking it?
Yeah.
It's like a Verizon commercial. That's about the coverage you get, too, from those idiots. But anyway, I want to stress, if you're down and out from this, this is what people need to remember for the people that are just as terrified as I am. But look, if you voted for Hillary, I'm sorry for you. But won't you wake up and realize, first off, this is what happens when you steal an election from another candidate. In the Democratic primary, she didn't beat Bernie, and this is who they wanted to put up. What do you think would have happened? What do you think tonight would look like if it was Bernie and Trump?
I think it would be a much closer race. Very, very much more divided among party lines. You've even said it on the show. The people that are going out and voting for Trump just because they're so disenfranchised with what the Democratic Party has done to them in their fields.
Sure.
I don't know how much of that's valid. I know personally
I see it every day. There are people that are lifelong Democrats that after what they did to Bernie, they were just like, no more, no more. This ain't happening anymore. And it's a younger generation. This isn't the same. Okay, in the Clintons in the 90s, especially, they got a pass on everything. No matter what he did, he lied under oath. He lied under oath. Got a pass. They got a pass on everything they did. We have a younger generation now. And for whatever was in Bernie's message that resonated with younger people, whatever caused that, he got a lot of young people out to support him. Thousands and thousands and thousands. Go look back at Bernie Sanders rallies against Hillary Clinton's rallies. Go look at Trump rallies against Hillary Clinton's rallies. This shouldn't be a surprise for anybody. She couldn't get more supporters out for her than Bernie Sanders, much less Donald Trump. But she screwed her own party for her own greed. And all those young people that didn't remember the Clintons, that weren't around for that, that were too young to remember it, they said, what? Who are you? You're the old lady. You're the establishment. You're this, you're that. We're not buying it anymore. And this is the result. This is what we're seeing. So she, people need to remember, she's done this to herself. And if people that are Democrats that are upset about this, you know who is to blame for it? It's Hillary Clinton and all her cronies that she got working for with Donna Brazile, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Tim Kaine, and the list goes on. She's done this to the entire, everybody was talking about the Republican Party imploding. I hope it does, because screw the Republicans. But we're seeing the Democratic Party implode on itself because of what she did and stabbing Bernie Sanders in the back. And we saw that in the emails, how they wanted to crush him. Where do we stick the knife in? Is what John Podesta said. Where do we stick the knife in his own emails? Well, this is what they wanted. This is what they got.
Mm-hmm.
So, personally, you know, I hate the whole part, you know, personally, the whole Republican Democrat. I think it's just, you know, it's a joke on any level. But I would like to see Congress go Democrat if Trump wins, because, you know, I said the same about Hillary. If she were to win, I want to see it go Republican. Because at least they can spend the next 4 years fighting amongst themselves and not getting anything done. That seems like the, I guess, best outcome you can hope for is just having everybody in Washington in each other's throats. The people need to stop in each other's throats, but the people in Washington do need to be each other's throats, because it's gridlock. And they can stop, you know, once people in Washington all agree on something, it's really never a good thing. What do they agree on? It's just, oh, this is a positive, wonderful thing that's going to help people. That don't happen. They agree on allocating funds to go bomb people. They don't agree on helping people. So we'll see how that works out. But how do you think people respond to this? If Trump is to win this,
I mean, how can you respond to it? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, really, if your candidate of choice does not make a president, just like the many presidential elections before this, there's nothing you can do. You just get up and you go about your daily life. Curse your luck that your guy didn't win. I mean, this really is the equivalent of a football game. Either your team wins or your team doesn't win, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Your life does not change. And as far as what these people do for a living, quote unquote, off of our money that was stolen from us by the United States government, their salary.
Breaking news. Trump wins Florida.
Wow.
Trump.
That's a big one right there.
Florida. That's a huge, huge. North Carolina, Ohio, and now Florida. Here we go. We'll see. But I don't know why people, I get the system's rigged. I've been preaching that longer than anybody I know, that the system's rigged. But at least in my inner circle of people that I know, and I just told you, I just didn't think she'd ever be president. She's got too many enemies, and people hate her. It's her own fault. It's her own fault. If it was Bill, Bill's track record's the same as hers.
If not worse.
But if not worse, the difference is he's a likable person. He's just a person. It's likable. Now he's.
I guess if you're a guy playing golf with him, if you're a stewardess on an airplane, I don't know about that.
Well, I'm sure. Look, we can get into all that. I'm talking strictly personality. Okay, that's all I'm talking about. And Bill Clinton is just like, yeah, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, he's very smooth. He can be charismatic. He's a wonderful politician. Now, to be a wonderful politician, you usually have to be a terrible human being. And in Bill Clinton's case, that's what it is.
He's a terrible human being.
He's a terrible human being. But he's a wonderful. But he is a rapist. But he is
one of the nicest rapists you've ever met. But he's
a wonderful politician. And he knows, like Trump has done, he knows how to win people over. But she doesn't. She doesn't know how to do it. She's a terrible politician. Everything about her is abrasive. There's nothing about her that's likable. And when these scandals pile up on top of her, she doesn't have the ability to shrug them off the way Bill does. And she gets flustered and she starts going, why are we up by 50 points, you might ask? Bill would have never done that. Ever. So, you know, this is her own. She's not likable. I've been telling
her. Well, you better be careful about what you say about her, because this election is an opener. And if she becomes president, she's going to come find your ass.
Well, that was probably.
Oh, man, that is a large red map right there.
It's a lot of red. Like I said, it looks like a Verizon commercial. There's a lot of red.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like I said, we can, in one night, take joy in the... I probably would have done it on the other side, too. I would have taken joy in both of them losing. It's the silver lining. But I really take joy in her losing if she does. I just want to see the look on her face if she has to concede. Man, I'll carry that with me. Right in my heart forever.
We'll TiVo it and watch it together.
Oh man, buddy.
Play it over and over. Yeah.
That will be a joy. Because I'm trying to find the positives in all this, and that's one positive, is to see that terrible person just be crushed tonight. Just be crushed. It's unfortunate, you know, that Trump's gonna be the president. Again, we'll wake up and we'll deal with that tomorrow, because that don't sound fun.
It doesn't matter. We're still going to have all of the things that have been set into place that we as you know, conscious Americans are realizing that, first off, the taxation is theft, and that money goes towards some of the most horrible, despicable, evil things you could possibly imagine. So our system is still way beyond broken.
Beyond broken. None of this fixes the broken system. None of it.
I'm mildly surprised that Trump is showing the way that he is, at least on the media, at least what the media is telling us right now. And it's looking like we might wake up tomorrow morning and call that evil, 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 just rotten guy. I mean, I'm sorry, I do not like Trump. I've never liked Trump. He's very, very polarizing in some of the very ass-handed things that he said during the course of this campaign. He has said horrible things about everybody you can possibly imagine. And we may wake up and he's going to be our president. So
I got to go ahead. We got 1 minute here left on the show, and I want to give a shout out to Mike Reese and all the people that wrote for The Simpsons, because they predicted this years ago. That's Anti-Media Radio. I am S.M. Gibson for Shannon Madden. We'll see you on Thursday with a different president of the United States elect, at least, possibly. Anti-Media Radio out. Yo, here we go through the stereo.